We are multilingual here. Therefore, you will need to know that I believe Channel 1 is English, Channel 2 is French, Channel 3 is Spanish. Everything we say and do in this room is literally taken down and therefore can be held against us. You will need to say your name. So things go like this. Formally, hello, my name is Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record, and this is important because not only with the interpreters here does it allow them to give variety in the voice as opposed to the impression that it is a monologue to those listening in a language channel. When we do the written transcription, and we do a written transcription in all of our working languages, it is very difficult, and all the staff can do is put the man said, woman said, questionable person of whatever gender may or may not have said. So please, it sounds arcane, it sounds silly. And the other piece of bad news, which Olivier was probably going to deliver to you, but I really like being the nasty one, is that we're going to have a slightly less than full time here. We will need to go to 5 minute notice at the quarter to top of hour mark and be ready to commit a end of meeting at the 10 to hour mark. Beg indulgence, please, but we have to move to another meeting and it is a fair distance away. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and thank you for all these announcements. Welcome to all of our friends at the NCSG. I understand that Robin is on her way. She's currently in a conference call, but she will join you, join us shortly. I suppose we can dig directly into the agenda that we have today. I understand it's the first time the ALAC has a meeting with the NCSG in its current form. So,
Not forum.
Sorry for my accent. So the first subject that we have on the agenda is the analysis of the evolution of the Joint Applicant Support Group and the future of Joint AC and SO working groups. This is meant to be a dialogue, a formal dialogue, rather than having a dialogue around a bottle of wine or some food. We thought it was nice to actually be able to see each other and speak to each other around a table and have a record of what we discuss, because more often than not, we've had pretty interesting discussions around the evening table. So I'm not quite sure how you wish to start this one. I thought I'd open the floor perhaps with just a few words about the current status. I know that we have Carlton, one of the co-chairs of the Jazz Working Group, who's there. And, if one looks at the history of the JAS, there were at some point some difficulties in having a unified charter between the GNSO and the ALAC. That resulted in two charters that were slightly different in each other. My personal feeling, and I just thought I'd throw this, is that I don't think it hindered the group too much, but maybe others think differently. I'll open the floor now, and I already see, before Carlton even speaks, I see Alan putting his hand up. So, Alan Greenberg.
As instructed, for the transcript record, my name is Cheryl Langdon Orr. No, my name is Alan Greenberg. Hey, I follow instructions. I take direction well. I would suggest that we not talk too much about the history of this one. It was an embarrassing situation. I'm sure we will have more embarrassing situations in the future, but it will not be this exact one. And therefore, we should not waste too much time on it. Just the comment, the GNSO is in the process of developing some joint ACSO process suggestions, which is being done within the GNSO for then presentation to the other ACs and SOs. My original understanding was this was an intent to be done purely by the GNSO. They made it clear at a meeting the other day that they were certainly welcome to have attendees from others, and I No. It was always clear I could... No, Cheryl, to be honest. It was always clear I could have attended. I could have participated. No one ever said I couldn't. But I thought they should do it and then present it. In light of the discussion that was held, I thought it a good idea to attend, and I will participate. There is still a lot of sensitivity there, you know, among other things. One of their mandates is to find a way that we can make sure that in future joint working groups have a single charter. I find it interesting that the jazz group suffered not one iota in having different charters, as long as the charters are easily segmentable and identifiable. And in the end, we did not in the report identify which things were addressing which charter, and no one seems to have cared. So I think there was a huge problem that blew up for reasons it is better not to go into at this point, and move on to how we're going to do things better in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next is Evan.
Hi, this is Evan. I guess my question is I'm wondering about what the value is of defining a communications protocol between various bodies if only one body is doing the definition. Isn't there something a little strange about that?
Sorry, it's Alan speaking. I don't know what you're... Are you talking about what the group that I just mentioned? The group is simply an opportunity for them to get their ideas together. Remember, the GNSO is not a single entity. It's a whole bunch of people with very different ideas. And this is an opportunity for them to try to get their ideas together before approaching other people. I don't find that unrealistic.
Well, since this is a meeting between ALEC and the NCSG, which is a big chunk of the GNSO, I wouldn't mind hearing from some of the NCSG people here about your take on what's going on.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask, actually. On the future of joint working groups across ACs and SOs, we have a specific view. We're all for these joint working groups. We think working cross SO and AC is a lot more productive than working in silos. We've heard that others might not share the same view. We wonder what your view is.
Wendy?
Wendy Seltzer, just to help with the perceptions around the table, the initial chartering of this group from GNSO Council was as a group for the council to discuss its own internal consideration of how to work effectively with joint working groups. And at that point, we invited outside participation but didn't want to make this a joint working group. Since in further discussion, we found that it would be helpful to bring in more participants and engage directly with the question of cross working groups and move perhaps to other forums the council internal discussion. That is the history of the group, not at all an intent to exclude, but an intent to gather thoughts and then engage in a more cohesive manner with other parts of the community.
Thank you very much, Wendy. And may I actually ask our NCSG friends, what was the main concern against cross-community working groups? Was it down to the process of reaching a CWG, or was it down to the output of it, possible cacophony between the two different or three different chartering organizations? Where specific points, because we see it from the outside somehow. Of course, Alan is able to report back to us, but I'd like to have some more views on this, please. If you have any.
Wendy, here, will say that I wasn't a participant in the jazz work directly, so I can't speak to that group. In other places, the council has simply been mindful of the different role that different organizations and structures within ICANN play, and we need to, at some point, be mindful of in what role are we approving a report or are we creating policy for GTLDs? Are we discussing something that's broader than GTLDs? Are we doing something that comes into the council's remit, at which point, to satisfy all of the council's constituencies, it needs to go through the formal policy development process or other council working methods. Our hope is that we can align these so that when there's something broader than council, we can engage effectively with other groups.
Thank you, Wendy. And I have a follow-up question on this. If the process itself is not a policy development process, and it's not only geared at you, I guess your colleagues can also answer, if it's not a PDP, does it need to go through the same seemingly complicated process for us neophytes as a PDP does?
No, but we need to identify what type of policy or non-policy is being generated, and in order to be able to take it to the ICANN community as the right kind of group output. Is this something that GNSO Council is being asked to endorse as policy? If so, we certainly don't want it to be challenged later on the grounds that it failed to meet all of the required policy development steps. If, on the other hand, it's something that we just want to air views on and get sign-on from other identified segments of the ICANN community, then different procedures would be appropriate.
Thank you, Wendy. And I wanted to ask a follow-up question, but I'll first let Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, Alan Greenberg. Due to the dearth of existing GNSO counselors at this table, I'll try to give some other aspects of what Wendy was talking about. In terms of do we have to follow the PDP rules are for the PDP, period. The GNSO in general will feel comfortable following its own working group rules, but that, of course, needs to be decided by any given working group, and they're general enough that I don't think they're particularly offensive, but clearly that could be subject to discussion when we go forward. In terms of the past, There certainly is a fear, or has been a fear among some GNSO councillors, that cross-constituency working groups are an attempt by some to try to make GNSO policy, which is the domain of the GNSO, or the GTLD policy, which is the domain of the GTLD. Now, if you look at some of the cross-constituency working groups that have been chartered over the last couple of years, they have some worry, because there have always been things that have been deemed to be implementation and not policy, but in reality, they don't differ very much from the policy when the policy was being written. I mean, this was almost a game to say we're not changing the GNSO policy, we're just looking at the implementation. But that line between them is fuzzy. However, it's quite clear that a GNSO formal policy, something that will result in something that goes to the board, either as consensus policy or GNSO policy that is not consensus policy, is a GNSO responsibility. And that is going to be solely a GNSO group, not a joint group. It can have participation from other parties, but it is a GNSO group, period. And I think there's an understanding in the GNSO now that joint working groups are coming. We better figure out how to do it well. If nothing else, the strategic plan now calls for them. And a challenge is going to be to figure out how to do it properly. But there has been concern that this is an encroachment on GTLD GNSO territory. And to be honest, they have some merit because of the things we've looked at as joint working groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. We have Jean-Jacques and then Evan and then... Or do you wish to respond directly to this, Wendy?
Wendy, just to note for the record that while I'm the only counselor sitting at the table, both Mary Wong and Rafiq Damak are participating remotely and communicating with us via chat. And so, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I see actually Rafiq commenting, yes, on the remote. I'll ask. I don't know what it is. Whenever I want to point in this direction, whoever I point to disappears. I'm getting worried. I'll ask Marilyn to monitor the room. If there is anything that needs to be brought up, could you please wave Matt's card? And I'll call Marilyn, or I might get really confused and call you Matt. Anyway, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenat. I understand and appreciate the importance of these procedural matters. I thought that there was perhaps an opportunity this morning to go into the subjects and say what is actually of prime importance seen from both sides as the subjects of common interest and therefore of common study and common effort in the coming weeks or months or years. Rather that approach. But again, I think this is my very last opportunity to show how foolish and uninformed I am. I've been on the ALAC for less than a year, so I can't pull this trick next time, so I'm just doing it now.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. And actually, the agenda was developed by exchanging emails between the chairs and co-chairs. I do realize, actually, now that you bring it up, that the agenda is a little bit long for the amount of time that we have. We might have to cut some parts off. May I ask at this moment, which part would the NCSG think can be dispensed with, or which ones are the ones we should really focus on? The agenda, there's a copy of the agenda on the screen, if you wish. First one, so analysis evolution of JAS Group, I think we've done enough on that one. But for some strange reason, there's part A, which has nothing to do with the first part, review of TLD objection procedures and possible action for a future joint working group. Perhaps just the idea joint working group was in there. And then strengthening the multi-stakeholder model within ICANN, how do we prevent forcing a binary choice between industry capture of ICANN or government capture? Can we offer a third path? And the third agenda item, how can civil society interact more efficiently with the GAC and with the IGF debrief?
I think that point two and three should stay there, and we should discuss them because I think that they're very important, especially point two, the multi-stakeholder model, because there is NCSG also, NCUC better yet, because I'm speaking on behalf of it, feels that there are many dangers in relations to the multi-stakeholder model. So I would like to keep that in, please.
Thank you. Evan. Evan's been putting his hand up way before, so Evan.
Hi, this is Evan. I was the one that initiated 2A, and this came as a direct result of the IGF meeting, the discussions that followed, and specifically an Economist article that was written after the IGF meeting that, in fact, was raised at the ALAC board meeting yesterday. I don't know if others share it, but I see a real threat that there are governments around the world that have become fed up with what they perceive to be a claimed multi-stakeholder role by ICANN that, in fact, is not followed through in practice. And, frankly, I believe that it is up to us to either assert that or give way to governments forcing the ITU upon ICANN or some other such solution. And hopefully I would like to hear at this table from our friends at the NCSG, what can we do together to, like I say, do this third path? There are some people, at least in the constituencies I speak to when I go back to my ALS and to the public, that believe that ICANN is captured by the domain industry. You have the GAC and you have governments around the world that believe that the multi-stakeholder model isn't working and that governments know what's best for the governance of the Internet. For ICANN to work, we really have to assert ourselves and ensure that the multi-stakeholder model really means that the public interest is being asserted here actively. And this has been very important, at least to me, from discussions. It seems like it's important to a lot of people, and I'd like to figure out what we can do together to assert this within ICANN.
Thank you, Evan. And in fact, Konstantinos and I were looking and thinking, well, two and three can really be put together, because you're asking how can we avoid this capture, this possible capture of ICANN by interests, but we're also looking at the GAC and civil society. So so let's start on this, Sandra.
Thank you, Olivier. It's Sandra Hoferichter for the record. I just want to make a brief comment on what Evan just said, because I had another experience, or I discovered other behavior from governmental organizations within the last ICANN meeting, IGF meeting in Nairobi. We could see there is sort of a progress from organizations, governmental organizations, and governments itself to get into a dialogue with civil society. I mean, this is not not as it's best or not as it should be, but at least there is a sort of a progress, and governments are currently turning around, changing their mind about the multi-stakeholder model and about shared power with civil society and other stakeholders. That's just my observation from the last IGF. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Konstantinos.
Thank you. This is Konstantinos Komaitis. Just an observation, it is more of a personal observation. I think that we really need at this stage to make a distinction between the multi-stakeholder model within the IGF and the multi-stakeholder model within ICANN. And I think that this is, if you want, one of the main problems. So what Sandra has identified in the context of the IGF, I don't necessarily think that it exists in the context of ICANN. So I would suggest that possibly one of the things that we want to focus on is bringing, aligning the understandings of multi-stakeholder participation in the IGF and in the ICANN context, because these are the two, if you want, ecosystems where multi-stakeholderism exists. It is supported, it is encouraged, and if we manage to create, I don't, for lack of a better word, a definition, but I don't mean a definition, but if we manage to create processes, robust processes for multi-stakeholder participation within those two fora, then I believe that we will have the ability to support the multi-stakeholder model much better. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Konstantinos. Is this the third path, effectively?
Sorry, we can call it third path. I mean, you know, whatever we can call it, it's okay. It was just an idea of bringing those two things together.
Thank you, Konstantinos. Sala, and then Wolf.
Salenieta Tamanikawemura for the record. I note Konstantinos' comments in terms of the internal dimensions of the multi-stakeholderism. I don't have an opinion on it.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
I don't have an official opinion on it, but in relation, however, to the multi-stakeholderism external interfaces, noting that global partnerships is actually in charge of the actual interface. Ever since I've been in ICANN 42, I've been asking around, and no one's been able to give me a clear answer. So for the record, Mr. Chair, I just would like to know whether ICANN officially participates in the ICANN dedicated working group on global internet policy. And if consumer issues that are raised from at large are actually represented within that dedicated working group. Just a question.
Thank you very much, Sala, and I can actually answer you regarding this. I think you have to ask Global Partnerships about this, because we certainly are not, and we're not given the funding or opportunity to do so. Sorry.
Mr. Chair.
And Cheryl wishes to...
If it's a follow-on.
Please, if it's a follow-on.
It is. Again, Salinieta Tamanikamaru for the record. In the interest of the end user and in the interest of representation of the end user in global internet policy development, if it pleases you, Mr. Chair, if it could be a potential action item in terms of liaising further with global partnerships in terms of enhancing that point of interface to ensure that consumer interests and end-user interests that are raised from the various working groups that at large is represented in is actually assimilated and fed into that diaspora. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Salah. And that let's do that. We've got it on the transcript, so we will keep this. However, I must remind you, though, that our mission is bound by the mission of ICANN. And so we will only be able to take part in the IGF processes so long as it actually has to deal with names and numbers, and ICANN in particular. Cheryl, did you wish to add to this? And then,
it is most important that Cheryl Langdon, for the transcript record, lets everyone know around this table that the knowing your energy levels might be a little low, and being a very sharing, caring and courteous group, as we are in our 5 region-wide, 130 organisational structure member at large, LACRALO, yes, that is the Latin American and Caribbean region, have provided some beautiful Indian sweets. I think that says it all. And so if you don't mind, as you wish, if your energy fails, please do go and select something delightful. And I've made an error, my dear Sintra. You should not have let me do it unless you briefed me with a proper thing. Go on.
Just to say that these sweets are to celebrate Diwali, which is the festival of lights. It's an Indian festival, so please celebrate with us. Thank you.
And in fact, on the pathway of light, this pivotal meeting, I think, is a good first step. But did you all notice there was a lot of light in terms of the little globe LED torches and things being given out today? So perhaps the whole of the meeting is celebrating this. So do enjoy.
Thank you very much for this. And I'd like to get back to the discussion with Wolf.
Thanks, Olivier. Wolf Ludwig, for the records. I observe, in line what Sandra said before, that to many of us, the multi-stakeholder model is still something like wishful thinking. Some take it for granted. But I see on the IGF level that over the last year, there were more and more attempts from governmental sides to capture the whole IGF process. And this is still an open story. We cannot take it for granted that the IGF, like we thought it and wanted it, will continue the way it will be really enhanced cooperation and based on multi-stakeholder. On the other hand, as far as ICANN is concerned, I observe more and more attempts recently by the EC policy papers on ICANN, these 5 letters submitted to the ICANN board. You can read the details on Kieran McCarthy's blog and in the Internet Governance Project blog, where Van de Graaff, the representative of the Commission in the GAC, is more and more trying to instrumentalize the GAC, playing power games and to reduce multi-stakeholder participation. The whole process of this exchange of notes was completely intransparent, and the documents were leaked more or less, and by this it became public. So we must be very careful and having a close eye, and I do it in the European context, because at the present stand, I cannot trust the role of the EU Commission, and I think from a civil society point of view, we must be very careful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Wolf. And I do realize that it looks as though the capture of ICANN or capture of IGF seem to be a similar parallel process or as far as the danger is concerned. We've got a queue in operation. Next is Baudouin, and then we'll have Beau. And David afterwards.
Oui. Je voudrais attirer Chombe Baudouin.
My name is Chombe Baudouin, and I am from a non-commercial entity and at large. So what I would like to say, as an ALS on location, I would like to talk about the multi-stakeholder model. We have to be very clear and not bring confusion to the mind of our users. First of all, we have to resolve the IGF issue. We started with a debate where we asked for the participation of the government, of the private sector, and of a few technical committees in the country. We had to make sure that women were also involved a lot. So the multi-stakeholder model is difficult. It's difficult with civil society. The definition is difficult in certain countries as well. So when we talk about the multi-stakeholder meeting, let's be more flexible, let's be more subtle, and look at the United Nations definition. If we start having problems with it, we have to see how we're going to work on location. I think now we have issues in certain countries, and we really have to represent civil societies at all levels.
Plus lentement la prochaine.
Thank you, Baudouin, but please do not speak as fast next time.
Thanks, Bo. Brendler from North America. I can't really speak to IGF and governments and all of that, but in terms of the multi-stakeholder model at ICANN, I think that we might have an opportunity with all of the current discussion and platitudes about review of ethics and concern about conflicts of interest and all of that, to perhaps as a group produce a statement or produce a document that is a bit investigative and looks at some of the memberships of contracted parties on some of the committees and such that run ICANN. As obvious as a thing that may sound, we had an interesting discussion yesterday, kind of during the chat, during one of our sessions, about the Board Governance Committee and the makeup of the Board Governance Committee. We know that the NCSG has one person who they elect to that, but the other 50% is made up of registrars, including the chair. So, you know, maybe we should take advantage of this time when ICANN is using a lot of lofty language about this to assess whether the risk of capture is as much from industry as it is from governments. In fact, the capture may have already happened.
Thank you, Bo. And I think you'll see a lot of people nodding with regards to this.
I'm just blushing with this word.
Some people not nodding at all. Okay. Well, obviously. Next we have David Cake.
Yes, David Cake. A lot of the problem with the multi-stakeholder model is government seems very, very... it often seems at odds with civil society. We don't do an effective job of lobbying them before they get here, which is why that they've been lobbied by commercial lobbyists, they've been lobbied by law enforcement, and so they come here with a law enforcement and agenda and see us as the problem. They're our government too. We should be lobbying our GAC reps before we get here, and especially ALAC, which has the very broad global reach, should be a crucial part of that. If the GAC should not be speaking with one voice that represents one or two large countries. It should be speaking with, you know, it should be a much more divided, it should be more divided because the governments of the world are more divided. That's wrong. We should need to effectively lobby before we get to ICANN.
Thank you, David. Next on the list is Jean-Jacques.
Dear co-chairs, we have less than 15 minutes left on this session, and I'm a bit concerned that we might leave this meeting without having come up with suggestions for specific things. I understand the usefulness of the discussion on process. I'm all for that. But to try to focus a bit more on what we really want to do together, I would like to get a sense from this meeting of what we consider is one or are maybe two typically important subjects we can share on and on which we could do joint work. For instance, if you were to turn to me and say, aha, point taken, what's your suggestion? I would say foremost in my mind today is the protection of private data, privacy, and basic rights of the internet user as an individual and as a citizen. Now, I'd like to know if that is also interesting, seen from the NCSG side, or if they have other suggestions. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. And the floor is again open since there's no queue. And welcome to Robin, who has just made it. And Wendy?
Wendy would very much like to welcome Jean-Jacques' suggestion. I think we could have quite productive discussion around the privacy and personal data protection issues.
Thank you, Wendy. Any other suggestions or comments? Constantinos, Robin, David? I'm specifically calling upon you because we kind of overwhelm you by the numbers. I realize there are less NCSG people here than ELAC, so I wanted to try and get a bit of a balanced view and maybe a bit more airtime for you. Wendy.
Wendy, just to follow up on that and to suggest that this is a productive sort of engagement to have, perhaps to get more NCSG involvement in the future. We can have an agenda developed in advance on both sides and an exchange of ideas so that we can all invite all of our members. I only learned about this meeting today.
Thank you, Wendy. That's rather surprising. I'm not sure where it went wrong. We did develop a joint agenda. That's what you see on there. There were a few more things which we weeded out somehow, but we have heard on a number of occasions that something like that has happened. So, I don't know, lesson taken for next time. Make sure that we just email everyone, blanket email everybody. The timer has gone to the end of its allocated time, but I'm ready to extend for another 5 minutes to discuss a few more things. There's the subject of liaisons, and I'm not that well knowledgeable about the whole process, but what we have been discussing within at large is the current liaison to the, now let me just get this right, is it liaison to the NCUC or NCSG?
NCUC
is what we had. So what we have, can Cheryl, can you take this one over since you know the exact procedures, who is liaison to what?
Certainly. Cheryl Langdon for the Transcript Record, and I think those of us who've been around long enough realise that in a previous version of the wonderful world of GNSO, it was seen wise for the at-large advisory committee, who has both formal, in other words, by-law mandated, and informal, other words, we decide it's a darn good idea to help mandated liaisons, and they're under rules and regulations in our rules of procedure, to ask what was then the only natural fit of interest in the GNSO process, the NCUC, if they would take a liaison and liaise back with us, and that's been done to date. We now, with the NCSG, would think it appropriate that we have a liaison not with a component part of the NCSG, but with the NCSG itself. And we wondered what the NCSG, and indeed the NCUC, thought about it. And, Olivia, I cannot imagine why you handed that to me. Thank you.
That's because, Cheryl, you have a better way of saying it than I do. I might have taken 5 minutes just to go through this.
Yeah, I think, this is Robin Gross, I think we would welcome having a representative to the NCSG. I don't think it particularly matters whether, you know, that it's NCUC or NCSG, but I think NCSG is fine, so that sounds great.
The microphone has just unplugged itself at the back. Yeah. But my microphone still works. So, I don't, did you want to say something, Ellen? Oh, okay. So, it will be fixed in a matter of seconds. Yes, Dave.
We can blame Robert.
So, we are all in agreement that, okay, so this is fine. So that's a takeaway from this. Okay for an NCSG liaison. And what I would suggest then to follow up with this meeting, because we don't speak enough between meetings. You know, seeing each other 3 times a year is great, but we have to engage more. We see each other in working groups and so on, and we often take the same view in the working groups, and we often interface on a personal level as well. But we have to have a liaison that does the work to get us to move forward on several policy issues, such as the consumer rights, such as the registrant rights, such as, you know, the privacy issues which Jean-Jacques was speaking about. These things need to be discussed. And with a good liaison, that would be great. In return, I just wonder whether the NCSG, and this is just my personal feeling, if anybody feels against it, would they shout now or hold their breath forever, whether the NCSG would be interested in having some form of liaison, formal or informal, with the ALAC.
Yes, we have. Bill Drake has been our liaison with the ALAC for a couple of years now, and I'd imagine he would continue, albeit now as NCSG rather than NCUC.
Thank you, Robin. That's helpful. Okay, any other additional points that we can take today? I realize it's a very short meeting, but at least we've put a few points on the table, and it seems that we've got a few things set. Cheryl?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the transcript record. These are useful things, and they're fairly formal, and it's great because it puts things in an archivable form that we can all search back to and know who said what. It's all very nice to say we'll do things between meetings, but we live in a round globe and we have real needs for, some of us actually try and work for a living occasionally. Perhaps if we could take it to our mutual agendas or something in the future, I would think there would be a wiki space which is jointly accessed but severally served for our interests, where we could ensure that hot topics or what's going on or just dump some stuff from a list or an economist article, whoever gets to it first, where what is clearly in both our areas of interest can be put, and that we can then send people, not just the usual suspects sitting around the table, but real ordinary people with real lives, to have a look and access, because it's that rank and file that we need to get the juices going and get the information from. I'm not suggesting we come to a decision now, but I certainly would like to put it on the agenda for consideration, formally or informally, in whatever way works. Thank you. And to that end, at large, ALAC has the facilities, the capacity, and the capability of doing that literally at a whim.
Konstantinos?
Yes, I think that this is a good idea, and possibly, you know, we can, because as Cheryl said, there are way too many lists, people are having their day-to-day jobs, and, you know, another list or another week might be difficult, but I would suggest that we pilot it and we use it as the space where everybody can put up whatever they feel it is important, and possibly through that wiki space we can even create the agendas for the meetings that you know, we can have in the forthcoming ICANN events. Thank you.
Thank you, Konstantinos. Jean-Jacques, you have 30 seconds because we need to go, except if you wish to run to the flamboyant room.
So only two words, priorities and relevance. Priorities means that if you don't focus on a very limited number of subjects, I'm not sure that even if you put out well-thought, well-written advice or statements, I'm not sure they will have an impact. And the second word, of course, goes along with that as well. You have to choose the subjects on which the special combination of SCSG, NCSG, and ALAC will make a difference, and not ALAC and GAC, for instance, because that's another area. We have other priorities. So we have to be very choosy to have an impact.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. And just one last question, I think. Do people think that maybe a single issue, single policy issue, might be a good idea to discuss when we next meet in Costa Rica?
Possibly, but the only thing that I would just like to say is that we should not be overambitious in these meetings, and we should not put five or six agenda items, because, for example, we have 45 minutes and we just touch them a little bit and then we have to jump to the next. So we just need to have a more structured and certainly not a lot of items in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Konstantinos. So point taken. Let's dig and not just poke. Yeah. Thanks very much, everybody. This meeting is now closed. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you very much for organizing this.
And for all ALAC members, you need to put your running shoes now. ALAC members plus ALS representatives who had travel support, plus regional leads who had travel support as well, and all go to Flamboyant, which is the room that is in the second foyer of the Hotel Meridian. The way to get there is either via the outside, where you will probably cook by the time you reach the other end, or via the inside, where you have to queue for a set of lifts that will take you down, across, and then back up afterwards. So there are stairs allowed as well.
Olivia, just to be clear, our representatives on the NOMCOM and our NOMCOM representatives to us are included in that list. Basically, if you work for ALAC, come along. And if you're not on the list, Giesler will tell you to go away, but it will be in the kindest possible way.